Last week I was looking at the amazing things that are going on in the Annunciation, when a messenger sent by God was sent to Mary, and what was going on in that conversation. And this is really what prayer is about. Prayer often is, "Listen, Lord, your servant's speaking. I'm broadcasting." Whereas really it's, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." You see, so we have to switch off our noise, our orchestra, stop strumming while somebody else is trying to speak to us. Enter a deep silence and we hear the Lord whisper. Because he's coming on a visitation to us. The messenger from God came on a visitation to Mary and made an annunciation. Now Mary immediately went on a visitation to her cousin Elizabeth and made an annunciation there. I'm sure. And this is what happened when Mary went off to see her cousin, to help her cousin, who was in her sixth month. She entered in, and the presence of God within Mary, the presence of the Lord, made John the Baptist kick. Elizabeth thought, wow, things are coming on well. And Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. So the first thing that Mary did was to greet Elizabeth as the messenger had greeted her. And the response was, "Blessed are you among women, and the fruit of your womb. How is it that the mother of the Lord should come and visit me?" Well, how is it that the angel of the Lord should come and visit Jim? Mary said, "How is it really that the angel of the Lord should come and visit her? If you want the holy people, they live next door." Because God chooses the foolish to confound the wise. Let's get that straight. St. Paul knew that he was number 13 in the family, the postscript of the Apostolic College. He persecuted the church. He was the last of all. And yet, by God's grace, Paul said, "I am who I am." And then Mary gave a most wonderful hymn in praise of God, in which she, in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 onwards, she's amazed that she's been looked on in her nothingness. Now, without God, we're nothing. And yet, Our Lady was able to say, "He whose might has done great things to me." And that's what humility is. It's the truth. There's all the difference in the world between humility and humiliation. Uriah Heep and David Copperfield, you know, so humble. "Oh, I'm so humble," he says. "I'm so humble." Anyone would think we were a stain on the carpet. The Lord says, "Jim, you're not a stain on the carpet. Stand up. You're a prince in the kingdom by my grace." And really, false humility is a way of avoiding responsibility. It's throwing God's gift back in his face. And some people have been deeply wounded by a wrong spirituality that thought that humility was humiliation. I remember a shocking film, it was a very good film, a shocking film called The Nun's Story, where the young novice had to drop the spaghetti on the floor on purpose to show humility in sweeping it up. The outrageous thing was she was ordered to fail her exams as being good for humility. That is abuse, A-B-U-S-E in capital letters. And it's been going on in our church for years. I'm spending my time trying to undo the damage. Humility is truth. And the truth is, we're a nothingness, but he who's mighty has done great things to us. It is to be able to accept our gifts, our uniqueness, and also the weaknesses that, thank God, go with our gifts, otherwise we'd be impossible, full of pride. The more gifted we are, thank goodness, the more weaknesses he gives us, so that we couldn't throw stones at anybody. And we also have compassion on the multitudes, because we are weak as well. And then she gives this wonderful, Jewish, extensive thought on what holiness is. Holy is his name. And for the Jewish people, holy means other. Other than I am. Otherwise we make God in my image and likeness, which is fatal. And she gives four reasons why God is other and what we're like. We live in a world that builds pyramids. We climb on each other's backs to try and reach the top. And when we're on the top of the pyramid, we think we're the king of the castle. We look down on everyone else. The apex of a pyramid does something terrible to your bunions and corns. Like Eros at Piccadilly Circus, you're all standing on an apex. Must be terribly painful. Also terribly lonely, because there's only room for one on top. And everyone down below is looking up at this fool, thinks he's God, thinking... And God feels so sorry for this person who thinks they're all important. He takes him off the pinnacle and shuffles him in with his brothers and sisters, so he's not so lonely, doesn't look such a fool. And we live in such a vulgar world. I hope the world doesn't imitate the West, where people flaunt their riches. They flaunt their looks. They flaunt their cars. And everyone thinks, to be anybody, you've got to imitate them. And it's so ridiculous. They look such fools. If only they realised how silly they look and how much they need God to take them off their pinnacles and shuffle them in down below with their brothers and sisters. Because that's the vulgarity of the world. Climb up to be in the penthouse suite. But God is other. I'm glad to say, he doesn't build a pyramid, he tips it upside down. He tips pyramids upside down and he took the lowest place. I said before, when our Lord asks us to do anything, I say, did you do it yourself? He said, when you're invited to a party, don't go sit at the top table. Plonk yourself down there, because they might say, I'm terribly sorry, that's for the bride's mother. You think, oh my God. No, you move down two steps. No, I'm sorry, that's for the bride's father. Oh, eventually you find you're down with the organist or something, down at the bottom. When you're invited to a party, go and sit in the lowest place. And then if they think they want you, want you to go higher, that's up to them, not up to you. Because on Good Friday, our Lord took the lowest place in the universe. He died, if you please, with the sin of the world upon him. And amen, amen, I say to you, whoever's listening, no matter how low in life you've ever gone, and you can pile on the Hitlers and the Stalins and Genghis Khan and Tamerlane, anyone you want, you'll always have to look down to see him, not up. Because he chose to go lower for you. And the father said, hey, the party's for you. Come higher, friend. Come higher. Because he who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. I've met fancy priests whose manners match their fingernails. They wouldn't dream of doing anything menial because they think they've got consecrated hands. Mother Teresa's consecrated hands would have done anything for anyone. So if you're a priest, I beg you, please get your hands dirty and know there is nothing menial that you wouldn't be prepared to do, because the Lord chooses the lowest to serve the lowest. So the first reason why holy, it's because his mercy reaches from age to age. The Hebrew word for mercy means love. It simply cannot be cancelled out. Mercy is love that follows us wherever we've been, whatever we've done, we're still loved. And maybe sometime I'll share a most beautiful poem on love with you, where we pile on all the ideas and reasons why he shouldn't love us, and he says, I still love you, and eventually he's going to win game, set and match. And that's what prayer is this dialogue, this conversation. We pile on all the reasons why we're not worthy. He says, but I still love you. And in the end, he's going to win. And that's what mercy is. Love that still loves us wherever we've been, whatever we've done. He routs the proud of heart, pulls down mighty from their thrones, and raises the lowly. He loves the hungry people. I remember the story of the pool at Jerusalem. First into the pool got cured. Well, somebody who had an ingrowing toenail got down there quickly, but poor old Bill could hardly get off his chair, didn't. In other words, those who don't need food get it. And those who do need food don't get it. There is something, I think, absolutely disgusting about gourmets while the world starves. Quite disgusting. And our Lord would be very angry. You remember the story of Lazarus, the poor man at the gate, and the rich man who had sumptuous clothes, had so many meals a day, and there was poor old Lazarus scratching himself. Let that be a lesson in humility. I'd rather have a piece of toast than something extravagant. And the last reason why God is other than us, he loved Israel. The Jews were amazed. At that time, China was streets ahead in culture. I admire China. No wonder China thinks that the West is Johnny come lately. They've had a culture for thousands of years. They invented so many things. And yet, of all this insignificant group, God chose the Jews. And they were amazed and humbled that in their nothingness, God had chosen them. So anyone who's going to be like our Lord must learn not humiliation, but humility. Remembering, he chooses the foolish to confound the wise. If God loves Christians, there's hope for the Hindus. If God loves Catholics, there's hope for everyone. And God loves me, I'm most amazed of all. Amen.